This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1892. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded August 22nd, Algeria, Antarctica, Australia, Bhutan, Bougainville, Brazil, China, Colombia, Cuba, Eritrea, Ethiopia, France, Germany, Indonesia, International Vacuum, International Waters, Korea North, Korea South, Morocco, New Zealand, Peru, Saudi Arabia, Taiwan, UK, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. The great total solar eclipse across the United States on August 21st led to a lot of medium wave monitoring for night-like conditions. And indeed, this did happen. We're rounding up many of these reports for the new issue of DX Listening Digest, number 17-34, via worldofradio.com. In my case, I went to Fairmont, Nebraska, right in the path of totality, before the eclipse became total during the previous half hour or so. I was hearing the X-band stations in Wyoming and Colorado, which not normally would make it that far in the daytime. After the eclipse, KMOX 1120 in St. Louis faded in just as totality was occurring there, and they were covering it. And a bit later, WLAC 1510 in Nashville was definitely identified, although they were just running Rush Limbaugh. Neither the observer nor the station had to be right along the path of totality, however. I was also getting KSTP 1500 Minneapolis, St. Paul, and from the south, KRLD 1080 in Dallas. This despite difficult monitoring conditions at my location because there was a big thunderstorm which we could see off to the southeast, putting in an extremely high noise level on the medium wave band, but worse toward the low end than the high end. As for the eclipse itself, it was a marvelous sight. I'm glad I finally got to see one. There are no big stations around Charleston, South Carolina. I would be getting that far on medium wave, even if it were really night. But of course, I had to check out Brother Scare, who's been promoting his eclipse session at the Tabernacle. Guess what? He was speechless, except I later determined that his audio feed was mostly cutting out. For the record, LRA 36 Antarctica, still confirmed on the air by the only DXer who's reporting it much lately, Manuel Mendez in Lugo, Spain. 15476, he logged around 20 UT Wednesday, August 16th, and around 1930 UT on Friday, August 18th. Of course, it's not on the air on weekends. Both times he gave it a simple rating of only 15321, and it's on upper sideband only. Artie Bigley sends a story from the West Australian, headlined Senate Slams ABC Cut to Shortwave Radio, slammed by all sides of politics over its foolish decision to cut transmission of shortwave to remote Australia and the Pacific. A similar, perhaps identical story appeared on news.com.au August 17th, sent on by Mike Terry. You can probably find it by searching on that headline, Senate Slams ABC Cut to Shortwave Radio. David Sharpen in SW says, according to industry publication Inside Radio, the effort to restore Radio Australia on shortwave is now dead in the water. But Artie Bigley sends a YouTube. It is never too late to revisit a bad decision. Trying to unravel the two Pacific Asian stations on 3325. On August 19th, the music I was hearing suddenly faded down around 11:49, just before sunrise here. And on August 20th, this happened about 11:52 UT. So my assumption was that NBC Bougainville was signing off, or cutting off abruptly, uncovering the weaker RRI Palangkaraya, Indonesia. Ron Howard says, on the 20th. Indeed, that happened at 11:50 UT. And on August 21st, he says, Bougainville has an erratic sign-off time. On August 21st, it cut off suddenly earlier at 11:33 during a DJ in Pigeon playing pop songs, so there's considerable daily variance. JRX in Brazil reported that Rádio Inconfidência had reactivated as of August 13th, more than 2 months since he last heard it on 15190. However, it's always been off frequency, usually to the high side. So on August 16th at 2012, I had a just barely audible carrier pretty far off at 15190.732, probably Inconfidência. On August 15th and 20th, Ron Howard says there was no sign of BBS Bhutan on 6035, allowing him to hear instead without interference from that, PBS Yunnan, or Voice of Shangri-La in China. August 15th, running past their normal close down at 1200, still at 1241 with instrumental music. And on August 20th, he says they did go off at 1201 UT, ending regular programming, but still no sign of Bhutan. Ron Howard also reports the Chinese military numbers station designated VC-01 has changed frequency on the 40-meter hamband, heard on 7148 USB instead of 7118, August 20th, at various times between 11:38 and 12:59. Fair reception with numbers in Chinese. Al Caravan Radio Colombia continues creeping upward from nominal 5910. When it's on the air, and that is quite irregular. August 19th at 06:15, I heard their ID, and they do not say Radio Al Caravan, but the other way around, measured on 5910.368. Of course, that's not really an external service. For that, we have to listen to WRMI, which has a weekly program. I believe it's produced in Miami, but it's Colombian-oriented, Informativo G24. I ran across it Thursday, August 17th at 13:08. It's half an hour long on 9955 with news of a protest demonstration in Buenaventura, which I had not heard about. But it seems this was olds rather than news, as it happened back in May. Teachers were on a strike against their treatment by the government. Here's another odd frequency transmitted by Radio Havana, Cuba. Although as a second harmonic, it's really even. 14680, heard August 20th at 0109, barely audible but parallelable to the fundamental 7340, among other Spanish frequencies. And at that particular time, nearby CHU was inaudible from Canada on 14670. In Pladiex, Mauro Giroletti in Italy reports the latest frequencies for Voice of the Broad Masses of Eritrea on the 40-meter hamband. Program number 1 was on 7140.1, August 13th, at 1755, and number 2 on 7181.6, August 12th, at 1755. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria agrees and says 7181.6 replaces 7175 for number 1 between 1400 and 1830. It's in Tigrinya, except for the last half hour in Arabic. And number 2 on 7140.0, also between 1400 and 1830, replacing 7150. And we now have an ID for that mysterious 5940 station, which went un-ID for a couple of weeks and was thought to be from or to Eritrea. Yari Savalainen has been listening to clips of it, although he doesn't speak Somali, along with Torsten Hallmann in Germany, and says, your impression about the word Ethiopia is correct. Actually, it's Itubiya in Somali. It's hard for me as a non-Somali to be sure, but the ID could be Radio Diganka Somalida Itubiya. That could refer to Ethiopian Somali regional state. And I found some Somali language websites that say a few words about the shortwave station on that frequency, 5.94. in the Ethiopian Somali Regional State, abbreviated DDSI, and he provides a link to it. And there's some pictures of the ceremony with the antenna and the letters shortwave, or SW. Torsten Hallman replies, I believe that so far an ID station on 5940 is now identified as the official station of the Ethiopian Somali Regional State, although we are not 100% sure about the ID, thanks to Yari Savolainen's research. And he found some pictures of the transmitter and its inauguration, and along with a file, audio file of the likely ID. Broadcast times are approximately 0400 to 0510 or later, 13 to 15, and 1810 to 20 UT, all a bit variable. There seems to be a daily newscast at around 1910. The rest of the program is mainly long musical selections and occasional interviews or correspondent reports by phone. It all sounds a bit provisional, no jingles, no IDs at sign-on or sign-off, or other regular features. Steve Zimmerman near Madison, Wisconsin, reminds us it's time for long-wave DX from Europe, if the atmospheric noise level permits. On August 15th at 0327, he was hearing Radio Monte Carlo in French from France on 216 kHz. Very good, in spite of the noise, a spoken word program. He was also hearing 171 Morocco and 252 Algeria. Via Wolfgang Bischel, BCDX, this from Ruman Pankov in Bulgaria. For many years already, from TDF, the Issoudun transmitter site in France, they are operating two faulty transmitters, foisting that upon different clients. Along with the fundamental sound, there are non-stopping sounds, which are like noise from tractors or maybe like a frog. Wolfgang Bischel passed on this complaint to Michael Pietz of Media Broadcast and TDF, and he says he's brought it to the attention of the engineers. Perhaps they'll do something about it. For example, this tractor bubble audio signal, as Wolfgang calls it, was heard August 16th at 1725 to 18 UT on 11955 during Taiwan's relay in Russian. And it's also happening at the same time on 11945 with a different broadcast. Kai Ludwig replies, TDF also operates the last classic Issoudun transmitter complex, known as Center E, where they also set up the transmitters removed from the Pori station in Finland after its closure. It's quite possible the problem lies there. Ivo Ivanov has heard from the new European shortwave radio service in Wissen, Germany, which has been testing on 6160, and they ask for reports. Here's the schedule, although it may be irregular, in English, Mondays to Saturdays, with 1 kilowatt on 6160 at 10 to 12, 14 to 16, and 18 to 20 UT. And soon, they say, we will be switching on their other frequency, 3975, which will be on the air at alternate times in between, 12 to 14, 16 to 18, and 20 to 22. Ivo Ivanov also reports an additional transmission from Deutscher Wetterdienst on 6180, a 10-kilowatt transmitter in Germany, for roughly half an hour. It's in the AM mode with weather reports for roughly half an hour at 06, 12, and 20 UT. However, the additional broadcast is at 16 to 16:30 as of August 19th. But when he checked, he was hearing dead air at 16:15. Maybe it just ended early. That was August 18th. You're listening to World of Radio 1892. Also bringing you the website worldofradio.com, all of which are non-commercial, and thus we appreciate voluntary financial support. However, no new contributions have been received this week. By check or money order in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, or via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Filed under International Vacuum, this story from Science News of August 5th. Using the quantum communication satellite MISIUS, researchers successfully sent entangled photons to two cities in China. The result paves the way for a future worldwide quantum network. Particles of light born in space have connected two cities via a quantum link about 10 times longer than any created before. A quantum communications satellite beamed photons to Earth, separating them by more than 1,200 kilometers. The feat showed that the particles of light can retain a strange type of interconnectedness known as quantum entanglement, even when flung to opposite ends of a country, reported in the June 16th issue of Science. The previous distance record was only 100 kilometers. It's a huge achievement for quantum entanglement and quantum science, says Thomas Genovine of the University of Waterloo in Canada. The technique is expected to have major technological applications. Anton Seilinger, a physicist at the University of Vienna, says, "This experiment is really important for the development of a future quantum internet. Quantum entanglement will be an important resource for communicating across the globe. Today we pay bills, electrical, water," says co-author Chao Yang Lu, a physicist at the University of Science and Technology in China in Hefei. "With quantum entanglement, such a basic requirement of quantum communication, maybe someday we will need to pay some entanglement bills." Under international waters and none, via Mike Terry, Caribbean Emergency and Weather Net was activated for Tropical Storm Harvey, issued August 19th. The Caribbean Emergency and Weather Net, CEWN, was activated on 3815 kilohertz. And another frequency in use was 7162 for different regions of the Caribbean. Check the Hurricane Watch Net website, www.hwn.org, or Caribbean website, cewn.org, or the National Hurricane Center, www.nhc.noaa.gov. As we mentioned last week, Voice of the Martyrs, clandestine for North Korea, was missing August 10th when Ivo Ivanov was trying to hear it, but he did find it on August 17th, 1530 to 17 UT via Uzbekistan on 7525 in Korean and English. On August 20th, Ron Howard was surprised to find no signals on any of the previously known frequencies of Voice of Freedom, clandestine from South to North Korea, checking between 1203 and 1344 UT. Nothing on 6135, 5920, 5940, or 6020, at least nothing from Voice of Freedom. And then on August 21st, he found their new frequency, 6045. Presumed to be that anyway. There was strong reception and it was not jammed, with programming consistent with Voice of Freedom. At 1001 UT through 1304, segments with announcers chatting and dramatic monologues, pop songs, and dramatizations. And they were still not heard on any of the other frequencies. Thanks to Amano and Hiroki Kamatsubara for their confirmation of the new frequency. Consequently, Ivo Ivanov says the new unregistered frequency should be on at these hours, 03 to 08, 9 to 15, 16 to 20, and 21 to 02 UT, 10 kilowatts on 6045. Ron Howard adds, on August 22nd, perhaps the change in frequency is related to increased military activity that started on the 21st, with the U.S. and South Korea beginning their annual joint military exercises. And it was again on 6045, August 22nd, still in the clear with no jamming, a very strong signal for him. Via Alan Holder on the Isle of Wight, he found on the KBS World Radio website notice of test transmissions in English, some of them already passed, in August. 15 to 16 UT on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd on 9515 to Europe. 08 to 1030 on the same three dates, 9770 to Southeast Asia. 14 to 17, August 21st and 22nd, 9835 to India, and then on the 23rd and 24th, at the same time on 9785 for India. Furthermore, at the beginning of September, they will increase the amount of English programming in production from 2 hours to 5 hours per day, the most dramatic change in program format for decades. And in a surprise move, their weekly letterbox show, Listener's Lounge, will be canceled. It looks as though additional programming may only go out on their web streaming service. August 19th at 0617, I was surprised to find Radio New Zealand International back on 9700. They had moved from that frequency to 9630 in late July. The next night, indeed, they were back on 9630, so perhaps it was a mistake. While on August 19th, Rick Barton in Arizona was also hearing 9700 as late as 11:45 instead of 7425, where they normally switch at 0700. And by the way, I usually find that 9630 is the strongest station on the 31-meter band. 13840 is another NZ frequency. This report from Richard Howard in North Carolina. Very good reception, S5 to S7. From O2UT August 21st, when they relay BBC World Service for 30 minutes of news. Tonight with commentary on collision of the USS John S. McCain with a merchant ship. Hearing BBC WS again via shortwave, which was through a satellite link to Wellington, then digital to Rangitaiki, then across the Pacific to eastern U.S., is really good stuff. Brings back memories of several hours nightly of BBC on 5975 from Antigua. RNZI to be commended for providing shortwave service to the Pacific and areas far beyond. Sometime before 0200 UT, August 20th, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany, using an SDR, says he was able to separate the Peruvian from Angola. RNA, always on the low side, was on 4949.733, while Radio Madre de Dios, Puerto Maldonado, Peru, was on 4950.013. Wolfgang Büschel reports hearing an intermodulation mixture of two 500-kilowatt powerful beasts in Saudi Arabia, or as we like to call them, leapfrog mixing products, between 14 and 14:30 UT, August 17th. The two fundamentals, approximately 17895 and 17705. The mixture's intermodulations appeared on 18085.038 and 17514.980, as reported to the Harmonics Yahoo group, which also covers, strictly speaking, other things than harmonics. Dave Thorpe reported to the British DX Club on August 18th. Thanks to Paul Ewers, the program Look South from BBC Television said all of the masts at Rampisham were demolished on that day. I say, very sad, it was once a major shortwave broadcasting site for BBC World Service, and I believe the one used for North America when that was of interest. Mike Barraclough replies, it's a two-minute report starting at 14 minutes into the program, can be viewed only by those in the UK. However, Rampisham Towers Demolished is the headline for a YouTube of this particular report, which we've managed to see. I imagine you can find it by searching YouTube on the name Rampisham BBC. John Collins in Birmingham reports on August 21st, as heard on BBC Radio 4's Today program, the World Service has started a new language for West Africa, Pidgin. And the BBC is starting a service for North Korea in September and expecting repercussions. According to a story in The Guardian of August 20th via Chris Greenway, one of 12 new language services being launched by the BBC over the next few weeks. It'll be a daily half-hour radio program going out in the middle of the night so that people have the opportunity to listen under their bedclothes without telling the neighbors. Historianbt.com has the erroneous headline that there will be 40 new languages. I suppose that will be the total, but it's a 289 megapound expansion to accommodate all these new languages, including Amharic, Afan, Oromo, and Tigrinya from September. The Pidgin service will grow in November to include two daily news video bulletins and will be followed by two further West Africa services in Yoruba and Igbo next year. All this is short on details. We're not even sure all or some of these will be on shortwave. About Pidgin, the story says it's a language spoken by more than 75 mega people across Nigeria, Cameroon, Ghana, and Equatorial Guinea. Of course, Pidgin is a very vague term as well and can be applied to languages in other parts of the world, notably Papua New Guinea. Kai Ludwig, however, has found some details on the BBC Media Center website. Apparently, Amharic, Oromo, and Tigrinya are to be expected between 16 and 17 UT on 9585 South Africa, 15700 UAE, 17545 UK, and or between 17 and 18 on 9585 South Africa, 11625 Bulgaria, and 17545 UK. Mike Terry sends a story from The Telegraph that Big Ben has chimed for what could be the last time in 4 years. Westminster's Great Bell has been silenced for repairs. Langley in New Brunswick adds, BBC Radio 5 Live carried the last bongs live. It may have been the only BBC radio station to do so. Speaking of BBC radio stations, they're going to shut down additional medium wave transmitters, according to Radio Mag Online via Steve Camp, Hardcore DX. Larry Will of Maryland spent a week in August on vacation in a remote part of West Virginia, during which he did a lot of DXing and filed a very readable report categorized into FM, AM, shortwave, and shortwave pirates. You can see the whole thing in the new DX Listening Digest, number 17-34, via worldofradio.com. All that was before the eclipse, but let's read a bit more about that from Bob LaRose in San Diego. I had some fun monitoring the eclipse on radio since we only had 60% totality. I found there were greatly enhanced conditions from Asia on the 49 and 41 meter bands during the eclipse, but not on the 60 meter band. Despite my high local noise level, they faded in starting around 1640 UT. Both 49 and 41 meters open up with many signals from China, Taiwan, Japan, and Korea, many well over S9, seem to peak around 1700. Many still on at 1730, but gone by 1745. Randy Stewart in Springfield, Missouri says, we were about 96% magnitude here for about 15 to 20 minutes either side of the local 1:13 p.m. maximum. I did a manual band scan and found conditions similar to what I'd get an hour or two before sunset in November or December. Most of the skip reception seemed to be from the north to about 300 or so miles, stations I otherwise don't normally hear in the daytime. Strongest were WHO 1040, KFAB 1110, KTIC 840 Nebraska, Chicagoland 890, 1000, and 1690. Also KMOX 1120, normally very poor down here in southwest Missouri during the day, was doing well. Several DXers recorded the entire medium wave band during the eclipse for later analysis, which will take a long time. Kaz in Illinois says he was getting KKLF in Spanish from Dallas on 1700. The propagation outlook from Boulder, G1 minor storm levels likely August 31st with ANK indices of 24 and 5, and September 14th and 15th, 30 and 5. Solar flux dropping from 90 August 26th to 75 by September 3rd. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio, 1892.